No comment. Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back for our Edge of Extinction Episode 5 Predictions and Power Rankings, where Kellen Bechtold is now taking the torch from the other three survivors to try to do well in this power rankings game. Her fellow Ghost Island contestants, Bradley and Brendan, did absolutely terrible, but Carl made up for it last week with an absolutely epic pick of Rick in spot 15. We don't know how he did it, but he had Rick in spot 15, bringing the survivors back into the mix here, and now they're beating both Alexa and I. So, Kellen, you got to keep riding this hot streak now.
Bing! Thank you, Carl.
Yeah, he scored as much as Brendan and Bradley did combined. So they got a combined 15 points, and Carl got 15 by himself. So
nice. So I feel like no matter what, I'm fine. Like, if I totally suck, two people already sucked. If I do great, that'd be awesome. Or middle of the road. I'll just even it all out. So there we go.
That's it. And you get Carl had the hard episode because he had the swap. You get the easy. There's two people going home this week. So you have a pretty good chance of at least getting one of these people in spot 14, right?
Well, see, I don't know. I feel like it made it a little bit harder because I understand the math, a little war dog style math. I get that. But it made me like, because then you're like, okay, I just want to get one really right. I can't bomb two. So then you're starting to like think like, okay, could somebody really throw their idol and then get voted out? And, you know, because the idols then don't help you necessarily because two votes are going through. I don't know. Always try and make myself feel better when it's if in case I really screw it up.
Well, I don't think that you're going to screw it up. So
thanks, Phil.
You're welcome. I think you're going to do great. Bradley had Keith in spot 7 when everybody else powering a game thought Keith home week or had him at least at like spot 15. So I guess I cut out because Alexis giving you a wide-eyed stare. So
yeah, I don't know how to not be obvious, so I guess I'll just loudly stare at the camera whenever Phil says.
I can tell. It's great because I'm just talking and then I just see the eyes wide. That sucks.
I know. I heard what you said, I think. Anyway, it was like the right words came in and out at the same time. And well, what I want to say is, first and foremost, how emotionally distressed I am because my two favorites going into pregame were Keith and Rick Devins.
That's a rough 2 weeks you've just had.
Yeah, so I'm pretty bummed about that. Oh man, I can't believe Rick went home. I loved him. I loved how genuine he seemed, how gracious and kind he seemed. It's like I understand why he was probably a threat to keep around. Oh, was I cutting out?
No, you're good.
Nope, you're good. You heard it.
It was pausing on my side.
I like how you went wide-eyed on yourself. Yeah.
So I'm real sad to see Rick go. Maybe he's the one to get back in. If that's how it works, I actually don't know. I'm just assuming that's how it works. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you have the floor. What are your thoughts on Rick being in this kind of purgatory right now? What are your thoughts on the season overall? Just let us know what you think.
Well, first season overall, I think it's okay. I don't want to be like one of those people that's like hates on other seasons because, look, I understand ours was not great either, especially since merge. So I'm not like tooting the Ghost Island horn and then expecting, you know, so I'm fair about it. It's just been a little bit slow to pick up, I think. I'm tired of the whole big windy chicken thing. Like, I don't understand why.
It's been a while.
I mean, it's been, do you think like a solid 5 minutes of screen time has been about the chickens?
For two episodes or three episodes?
We're coming into the third episode.
Yeah.
Now, where
we're hitting
still
a double
episode.
Yeah.
It's, so I'm a little bit like, why is that still super important? It seems a little uninteresting to me. A lot of the characters a lot of the people feel pretty even keeled. So I don't know. I'm missing the craziness of David and Goliath. I thought it was just, I loved that season. So overall, the concept is interesting. I am glad we're getting to see, because some of the best content has actually been on Edge of Extinction as far as personalities and stuff that people are saying. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm giving it like, it feels like a B season.
Yeah.
Is that harsh?
No, I don't think that's harsh at all.
I think B's okay.
Yeah, I think B's actually a good review, you know? Like, I think nowadays everybody wants A pluses. So when it's a B, everybody thinks, oh, that's not as good. But a B, like, that's a lot of Survivor seasons, I feel. Like, B's not bad.
Is my camera working?
I don't think it is.
It is not.
Hold on. I think I totally screwed something up. Hold on.
You sound great.
Now she's gone. Now she's back.
Okay. All right. Oh, she's back. Great.
I didn't want to interrupt because you had like a thought going there, but you just completely went black screen and I was like, oh, there goes Kel.
Yeah, I thought I did. So sorry about that. But anyway, no. Yeah, it's just, I think it's going to pick up. I think the pace that they're doing, this being this episode is two back to back. I think that means we're in for a post-merge, like solid post-merge. Yeah. So I think it's good.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting right now is that this season is falling into the same problem your season fell into. The people we know are going home. Like, it's it keeps being Manu who loses, and this swap could have been so great if the David, Wardog, Wentworth, Lauren, and Rick tribe didn't lose. If they would have won, then we get to know at least four new people, which would have been great. But instead they lose and we end up losing somebody that we really knew well. I mean, that had the vibe of the Stephanie Johnson vote out in Ghost Island. Because it was like, oh, when is, like, there goes one of like the best characters on the season and they just went out the door. And now what am I really left with? Now, like, how, when is this going to stop?
Yeah. It's okay. I don't know. And I haven't had much time to watch, to do a lot of, like other content this season. So I'm kind of missing out on like other people's opinions and all that. So we'll see. I might be completely off. Like I'm not sure what all the other guys were predicting and all that. So I'm coming in a little bit just as a fan and like a casual fan. Have I become a casual fan? Whoa.
That actually might be nice though. Sit down and watch it for an hour and then log off.
Yeah. That's all I've had time to do, more or less. So
all I wanted to know is Rupert now your favorite Survivor player? Is that what you're about to tell us live on this podcast?
Like, Rupert is like my favorite Survivor ever. Well, one of the things though, as to think back of being a fan, is Aubrey and Kelly Wentworth were and still are two of my favorite female Survivor players. Mm-hmm. So like, if there were two women I would have wanted to see back for a returnee captain season, I would have picked the two of them. So that's been super fun. And I think the two, we'll get to it, but early spoiler, I think the female returnees are hanging in a little better than the male returnees. So I'm enjoying watching the two of them for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree too. I think that if that tribe with Wentworth and David goes, David's in more trouble than Wentworth. She's got Lauren and an idol that she doesn't even know about. And causing a tie at final 14 doesn't seem reasonable for Wardog. Like, he's going to take his chances. I think Wardog really hurt himself last week because by voting out Rick, he really has left himself in a position of maybe he just doesn't realize how close Lauren and Wentworth are. Because David might be an easy vote, but if you lose back to back and you haven't won yet, you're probably next.
Yeah.
And David was pretty flabbergasted when Wardog didn't vote.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be pretty awkward coming back after Tribal.
David is fully on the outs right now. So spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah. We have hints at who Kellen has at 14.
But we have an idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love Survivor. I feel like some of the camera work is different. The storytelling is a little bit different. Mm. The beauty of the show is always amazing. So I'm appreciating that a lot. And I was talking to some of my aunts who were on, like, Amazon Alexa or whatever, and she heard me.
mine lit up and I kind of just stared at her and hoped she would turn it off.
Yeah. And their take was like, we love Extinction Island. Like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy that they have to go spend time with the people that they just voted out and all that. So I think with the fans, like the true casual fans at home, I think it might be playing really well.
I think it's working, though, so far. I'm worried about what's going to happen when these players actually come into the game and now start impacting the people still in it. But as its own thing, I'm enjoying watching it. It hasn't taken up too much screen time. Every time we've gone there, it's felt like there's a purpose. But what's going to happen when it actually does impact the game of one of our favorites, who then in turn goes home because of that. How are we going to feel then? That's ultimately what's going to be the make or break for Extinction Island, I think.
Are you guys just thinking that somebody gets a chance to play back in the merge? At the merge?
That seems like the most logical option. Because then there's how many people... There's already going to be, like... I can't do simple math. Like, 7 people sitting on that island already. So I feel like even more, it's just getting crowded.
Is there definitely only one time that they return, though? Or is it going to be two, like, yeah. Redemption Island? Like, I don't know.
I can't imagine that Extinction Island is just going to disappear at the merge. Because mm-hmm. that's too early. Like, it just goes away and then it's a normal game. So I would think that there's two times to get back into the game. I have no idea. I hope something super crazy happens, though, where they're like, it becomes a tribe. And then mm-hmm. they like don't actually merge. Wouldn't it be amazing if they like don't, they all of a sudden now have go to 3 full tribes, Extinction Island becomes a tribe, and it doesn't become the merge till like final 6 or something. I would love it if they switched it up like that.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool. It's just like, how would they get rid of every player then after that? Now you have your own.
It's like nightly tribal council.
Yeah, it's just boom, boom, get out.
That would like be everyone, like 2 people, every tribal. Yeah, I don't know.
They just come in and replace the 6 people on Mana that we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. I have to say I did in preparation for, I've watched every week, but I went this morning and watched the last 2 episodes again. And I was like, I felt my mom's visiting. She's not in here right now, but my mom, my parents, she probably won't listen. My parents are always like, now which one is this one? And I'm like, oh my God, mm-hmm. how do you not know their names? And I found myself being like, okay, I wanted to keep calling Chris Eric and Eric Chris. And then because we haven't seen a ton from Julie and Julia content from them, I was like, okay, I have to make sure I know which one is which. And that's no criticism to them as players by any mm-hmm. means. It's just lack of content. So
my mom was like distraught when she heard that there was a character. Why are we calling them characters? There was a castaway.
I started it. Sorry.
There was a castaway named Julia Carter on this season. I had to like take a picture of the episode that I was rewatching and send it to her because she had no idea. And again, it's not a knock on Julia. Julia is probably currently the most outspoken person about this unbalanced editing. It's just they just haven't had a chance to show them for better or for worse.
And yeah. I think what's hurting some of these players now too is that Extinction Island exists. Mm-hmm. So they're spending, and you've had entertaining people go to Extinction Island. I mean, now that Rick Devins is there, Reem is there, Keith is there. There's so many. I mean, Chris is even like, I mean, my parents hated when Chris got voted out, which like I didn't have any connection to Chris, but they really liked him. So you have 4 really like likable characters over there that are eating up some of the screen time from some of these people who might finish in the Chelsea spot where it's like they got 8th place. Okay, or I don't what Chelsea get 7th. I don't even remember. But
Chelsea got 8th. Good memory.
Sure, 7th, right?
Yeah, good job.
There you go. I remembered. God, that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes there's just these people who slip through. But right now, Julie has gotten 0 confessionals. But it doesn't mean we've heard a lot from Julie or Gavin or really only Ron. I feel like really only Ron and Victoria. I feel like are the only 2 from that tribe who I've really heard from that aren't Aubrey and Joe because we already know who they are.
Yes. Yeah. And look, I do get a little bit. This is going to sound, people are going to think this sounds bitter of me, and maybe it is, but we are getting a ton of content from the returnee players. And mm-hmm. it is a little bit like, well, we know that, like, we know them. Can't we? And it is interesting to watch them play again. And I will tell you, sometimes I'm like, I don't know how they're all doing amazing job to think. I don't know. When that first episode we watched, I was like, oh my gosh, are they all going to be pre-merge? Like they were not faring well at the beginning, but they're all hanging in there. And so it's interesting, but they are getting a lot of content and a lot of like historical content of them. So
yeah, we've seen flashbacks to previous seasons, which we don't see often, and we've seen it twice this season.
Yeah.
Saw it with Aubrey finding the idol, and then
we
Kelly.
Saw it with Wentworth.
Yeah, with Wentworth too. Yeah, I guess just those 2.
But and I remember on Ghost Island too, like them showing all of that stuff from the other seasons kind of took away airtime from current people. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I'm being negative Nancy, and I don't mean to. I love Survivor. It's fun to watch. It's beautiful. I think the challenges have been really awesome this season. Mm-hmm. I've loved the challenges. Mm-hmm. Just like more intricate to watch, more visually appealing too. So there's a lot of good things and a lot of things that are just like, meh.
Yeah.
This might be the wrong, I think cinematography is the wrong word, but I think you're right. Like the beauty shots and how they filmed it have been really top notch this season.
Yeah. That works. Agreed. That's the right word.
Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah, there you go. So now that the real Kellen is coming out and she just hates everyone and everything about the season.
Yeah.
Let's start like breaking these people down one at a time so you can really tell us how you feel.
Really tell you. I think it's getting dark. So I'm going to turn my light on just one second.
Good call. We will fill this
time out. Sorry, everyone.
That's totally fine. So while Kellen puts her light on, we're again going to talk about, I think we just need to throw one more shot out that Carl's going to do better than Kellen this week. So I just want to say
Carl absolutely crushed it.
But she won't know that we said that. So that's great.
I cannot hear nice you. And bright so now. You can all see that I'm in my sweatpants. I've been fully under the weather this week, which is also why there is no wine carafe. So I'll have to spill the tea instead of drink the wine.
Nice.
Isn't that what the like kids what say these days?
Kids are always talking about tea. And I at first thought, this is going to make me sound so old, but I at first thought people caught on to the whole Michaela Bradshaw gif, meme, whatever. And then I realized that it was pretty common for people to talk about that.
Did you see there's a new BuzzFeed quiz out, like which survivor are you or something?
I hope you're one of the options.
I hope I am too. I don't think I probably will be, but I took the quiz in honor of this.
And so who are you?
I don't know who made the quiz because my answer was, you're a pre-merge boot, but it said I was Sarah Lacina.
So she never was a pre-merge boot. So it sounds like somebody at BuzzFeed just threw together found Survivor winners' names and threw them in there.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a winner. Sarah Lacina was a pretty good winner.
Yeah, I was like, maybe they meant winner.
That's a classic mix-up.
Yeah, classic.
Crazy. Phil, we should take that and post our results.
We definitely need to.
Hannah Shapiro, the goddess Hannah Shapiro, posted it. So, and she got runner-up, so she was like, oh, I wish I could have learned earlier my fate or something. But
did it say which castaway? Was it like runner-up and then
it was Russell Hans.
Oh, Russell. Wow. There you go. So that one made sense. Okay, so even BuzzFeed has heard of Russell. They just don't really know Sarah's role.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take that after. That's hilarious.
Yeah, definitely gonna do that. I'll have to look on Hannah's Twitter here. But Kellen, who do you have at number one? Let's let you start.
Okay, so my number one is Ron.
Okay.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Ron.
Is that your choice too, Alexa?
Ron is my number three choice. Okay. We're already starting jumping around here.
Okay, totally fine.
I think Ron's in a great spot, but I want to hear your thought about him.
Yeah, so I think Ron is in a really good spot. I think he is taking the game very seriously, but taking the personality part in his interactions very lightly. And I think his ability to look like he's the partier, there to have a good time, be the entertainer, combined with his confessionals so starkly being like, yeah, I was just lying to Joe's face. I'm never going to play with him. I mean, and the way he lied to Joe so well. I mean, I think Joe might be as gullible as me possibly, but I just think the contrast between how serious he is in confessionals and how playful he is in camp means that he's doing a great job and getting a good edit in that sense. So I have Ron at my number one.
Yeah. I also had him at three with you, Alexa.
I think we both have the exact same one and two then.
We probably do. But
I'm so curious.
The thing with Ron too, the only way I see him going home this week is if Joe or Aurora find an idol, but then they would also have to figure out that Ron doesn't like them, which Joe hasn't figured out. So I think Ron, like, welcome to the merge. You made it.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point with him being on the outside, being really goofy and like people keep using the word kumbaya. Like he is the leader in the sense of he's the one who keeps everybody happy. And we saw that on the original Kama tribe, and we're seeing it again on the new Kama tribe. Is that which one he's on?
Kama.
But then when he's talking to us and when he's actually playing the game, he's playing what seems like already a fairly cutthroat game, even though he hasn't gone to tribal council. So no one's going to see him that way, I think, until it's too late. So I think he's in a great spot.
Yeah.
And also he's giving instructions, which is also a good sign. He asked Julia to go through Joe's bag, and she was like all game for it. She was just totally in with him, took it easily. Like, if you can give instructions to your people in Survivor and not make them feel told, like they're being told what to do, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I think he is in charge of that tribe, and I think that he's doing it with a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he even said to Julia, good job, or something like that. he was like the commander, and it was like, okay, thank you. You did your job. Like, stay on the beach.
Yeah. Which normally would piss me off, but like the way he said it, it wasn't condescending, and it looked like she was like, yeah, I got this. Like,
I did do a good job.
Yeah. So who are your number ones?
So Alexa, do you want to go first? We have the same. We definitely have the same one.
We definitely have the same one and two. I have Aubrey at number one, and I have and Lauren at number two.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Because Phil and I always put people who have idols or advantages up top. But I think Aubrey is someone who's done, and it wasn't even her fault that she was in a bad spot to begin with, but she's done a complete 180. After she found that idol, that tribe swap was huge for her. And it helps that she's currently on a tribe with someone who is patient zero with the chickens. And after Wendy released the chickens, I think Aubrey was like super pumped, because Wendy just put this gigantic target on her back. And Wendy's also giving Aubrey a ton of information. So we saw that quick scene where Wendy was just telling Aubrey everything, and Aubrey's just like downloading it for the future. And she's probably getting even more off camera than we already know. And then additionally, we see in this preview, which probably won't happen, but we see Aubrey, Wendy, and Victoria talking about, I think it was Eric they were maybe getting rid of. But the point is just that people now want to work with Aubrey. No one wanted to work with Aubrey 2 episodes ago. Now she has a ton of options. And I think, Phil, you made the point that Aubrey's game gets better as it goes on, and we're watching that happen. I think Aubrey's in a great spot. And with Lauren, I feel about the same way as Lauren. I just think Lauren has a chance to go back to Tribal Council, which kind of sucks. And probably won't want to play an idol this early. And she probably won't be needing to play it on herself, but just the fact that she's probably going to be floating around a few more Tribal Councils could make me nervous, but she's also number two, so.
Yeah, and with Wesu, if they were to go to Tribal, I feel like David goes first, and then it would probably be War Dog, because I do think Lauren and Wentworth are really close, and if Wentworth is going to try to blindside Lauren, Lauren has the idol, and she can take out whoever she wants. Mm-hmm. So I like where Lauren is at for that reason, and with Aubrey, I don't buy that her and Victoria and Wendy are going to take out Eric or Gavin.
Not at all.
Because everybody wants to vote out Wendy, and also Victoria and Aubrey aren't close. Victoria really wants to vote out a returnee. And so Eric and Gavin would be like, let's get rid of Wendy. We can get rid of Aubrey next time, which is the classic Survivor mistake, because then, you know, Aubrey's in like the final five and you can't get rid of her anymore. But so I think that Aubrey's just fine because she has the idol, and I feel like the first boot is just going to be a clear Wendy, or Aubrey is going to drive that. So even if she goes to back-to-back tribals this week, she survives both with the idol and with Wendy going home. So there you go. Kellen, what do you think? You're nodding along.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear. So one of the things I didn't do is see, I don't know why I didn't watch it, but I did not watch the next week on Survivor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen any content. So it's interesting because I hadn't thought of, although I think Victoria and Aubrey had one conversation before, right? Maybe I watched it on Wednesday when I watched it live, but I didn't watch it again this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting thing because I'd forgotten about that. And I feel like the new Manu tribe, I see it playing out differently now that Aubrey has her idol if they go to tribal. So it's just, I have it a little bit differently, but I'll get to them maybe when I get down through things. I don't know.
I think the real war dog is in our chat right now. I just want to throw that out there.
Hey, I can't. I was like trying to think of Smack Talk to see if I could end up on the list, but he's doing all right. It's kind of hard to come up with some with things. I mean, I think he's playing a pretty good game. He's getting I don't know if he knows this, and he's here, but he's getting a bit of the Dodo music. So that confuses me because of the way he is playing really logically and making good survivor decisions, but then some of the phrases.
Mm-hmm. I've been missing the Dodo music. I've completely missed
it. It's a little bit over it. Well, not Fishback Dodo music, but when he was talking about the math or they said she's totally lost her rocker, which is not the phrase.
True.
So a few of those things come up. So if it weren't for those little drops that they've chosen to say, I would be putting him in the top three. Cause I think his game is his game decisions are top notch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He somehow managed to get in with Wentworth so tight right away that he hasn't had to worry yet. And everybody has gone to him. That's what blows my mind. Mm-hmm. David looked shocked that they voted off Devins.
Mm-hmm.
He's blindsided by there is Wardog. And Chris was shocked he went home because of Wardog.
Yeah.
And Keith was shocked because Chris went to Wardog. Everybody goes, that tribe runs through Wardog. It's just right now his army is getting very, very small. And he might only have him and
I don't think so. I think Wentworth is his number one. I think Wentworth will do whatever he says.
But what happens though if they merge? Let's say they have to go to one tribal council this week and then they merge. All he has is Wentworth and Morin. And that makes it tough.
Yes, that's if they go back-to-back tribal. That is going to be tough. But we don't know about his – I don't know. I believe in him for some reason, even though the
– Is that because he's in the chat right now?
Oh, no. I'm about to drop the other side of the – turn over to the cold side of the pillow, which is – I don't necessarily appreciate all the post-game antics. So it's – that is something that – I could do without, but in the game and watching him, I believe in his game. I think he makes, he's in the top eight for sure.
Yeah.
So, which is a good lead in. I have Wardog at number two.
Okay.
Great transition.
we've been trying to come up with those for years, Callan. You just
whips that out. Well, now you brought up a good point, Phil, that he has voted out literally everyone. If Wardog does get to Extinction Island, I want the camera there the whole time because everyone is just going to be chasing him down.
Yeah. So, Kellen, so you say Wardog here, and then who's your number three? Who do you have after him?
So I have Julia as my number three, which is possibly just a safe bet. But just because Ron's my number one and Julia is his number one army member, I'm putting Julia at number three on the coattails of Ron.
I have her at number four too. So I view her pretty similarly. I think she is safe, like you said. But yeah, I think she's in a good spot. And I didn't realize that between her and Ron. I knew they were close, but in that group of six, quote unquote, that comma alliance, we haven't really heard much more other than that. So I guess that's Ron and Julia's kind of a hint for the future.
Yeah, the only thing that could possibly bite Julia is if they gun for her. Like, let's say Aurora and Joe gun for Julia. I don't think they would be able to convince Julie, and they definitely won't be able to convince Ron to do that. But if they were to try to vote for her and one of them finds an idol or something, which I don't think Joe will find an idol, but I just like to hedge my bets a little bit. I have her just more middle of the pack because of that. I don't have her at the bottom, but I have her more middle of the pack just because – she's Ron's right hand, but Joe feels comfortable with Ron, not Julia. So that's it.
Who does Joe
there?
You were just talking about Joe, right?
Yeah.
I got a little slightly distracted. So other than Aurora and kind of Ron, do we know anyone else that Joe is particularly comfortable with?
Aubrey,
who is somewhere else right now.
Thousands of miles away.
Yeah. Or a quarter of a mile away, one way or the other.
We can't tell. Kellen, do you have any input? How far away is Extinction
Island? Where is everybody?
I just went to Fiji for vacation, and I'm sweaty.
Wow. This is the last podcast.
I have been running a fever, so I'm going to blame it on that. But
I like that you're just keeping the hand up. Just keep it there.
I'm human too. I know I'm like pretty much like Michael Yerger. Everyone thinks I'm perfect. No one ever says anything bad about me. So I just want to make sure everyone knows I'm not Yerger perfect. Okay. I'm human.
Michael Yerger also has sweat stains.
Yeah, he does sometimes. He does.
Michael Yerger has never sweat a day in his life. Get out of here.
Anyway, you'll have to all go to Fiji for yourself and see the location of everything. Or I guess you could look at a map. That would also do it. But it is Extinction Island. Maybe the Ghosters told you this already, but Extinction Island is the day one beach where we like got off the boats and did our first challenge. Has that been told?
Yes. Who told us that? Brendan? I don't know.
Bradley mentioned. I don't even know. Yeah. Who we have? And Carl might have even mentioned like that. They're like, it's all very close, which is always weird because it's like you're all using the same island, so you're all kind of having the same experience.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's interesting. It was interesting going back.
Mm.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You just recently went back.
Yeah, I went back. I went to go have a vacation, non-survivor vacation. I was like, I'm just going to Fiji because we got tickets. Thanks, Fiji Airways, to go back. And I was like,
podcast is brought to you by Fiji Airways.
This podcast is brought to you by Fiji Airways and Perrier, apparently, today. And I just booked a hostel that I knew a few of the other survivors had stayed on. And I have never looked up like what islands were we on or anything like that. I don't know why I didn't pay attention to it. And I like show up and all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, I went to LAX. Sorry, bad at telling stories right now. Went to LAX. Bradley and I like hung out and my friend who went with me to Fiji, we hung out and got dinner before over our layover. And Bradley was like, where are you staying? And I was like, oh, we're staying here. And he's like, you know, that's like base camp, right? And I was like, what? What do you mean it's like base camp? So I ended up staying like right down where the crew stays. And so ended up like walking into where some of my challenges were and all that stuff. So there's like a little bit of like PTSD happening and it was all very close to home. But it was really fun and really interesting to see all of it, like a behind the scenes. I like was totally nerding out as a fan to see it. So, but it was unintentional.
That's really funny. Like, I love that. Like, didn't James go like right before too? Like James went not to, he couldn't have given you like the warning of like, hey, Kellen, you're going to Fiji. Watch out. Like,
I thought Fiji was like a big place and it is, but I should have known, I guess, that Sebastian and Jenna and James had all stayed there, but I didn't know that it was like there.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just show up places and don't think about it, but it ended up being really fun. Fiji is beautiful. Anyone who wants to go, especially Survivor fans, you should go, but don't go between March and July. Go on either side.
Yeah, exactly. Go and it's not raining. Go
yes.
there.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Anyway, sorry. I don't know how we got there.
No, we were curious.
Yeah, no, that works. Now you gave us the behind the scenes tour of your behind the scenes tour.
That's right.
Who's your number four?
My number four is actually Wentworth, which is maybe risky now that I hear what you guys are saying. But I feel like War Dog and Wentworth. So just as I put Ron and Julia, I'm putting War Dog and Wentworth. Mm-hmm. And also I feel like they had shown Wentworth being a target early on, but now it seems like she has her footing a little bit more. And I know that Lauren has the idol, but I think that Lauren is not going to be able to keep her mouth shut. And Wentworth is going to know how to handle it better than Lauren will. And I think that Wentworth is going to get that information and therefore she's going to be fine.
I think that might happen post-merge though. Because I do think Wentworth, Lauren, and War Dog are all going to make the merge. The only one I'm really scared for is David on that tribe.
Yes. Same.
And I think what we're going to see is something similar to what happened in David versus Goliath, where when your back's against the wall, you need to start telling your allies what you have. Otherwise, you're screwed. And I think that's when Lauren's going to be like, I've had this since day 3. And yeah. I bet she tells Wentworth how long she's had it. And Wentworth might be a little, you know, scared of that. Like, why are you just telling me this now on day 20 or whatever? But still be pumped that, okay, now we can try to overthrow what is going to be quite a Mana empire right now. There are so many of them that, not Mana, comma. Why did I say Mana?
What's our breakout right now?
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
What's the comma versus Manu original breakdown right now? We have 14 people left. Yeesh, that is bad.
And 9-5, and one whole tribe is just 4 of those 5. So if they lose, it's 9-4. And like, that's crazy. It's really bad.
who is your 4, Phil?
I have Julie, the toy maker. I have her at 4.
Julie.
Okay. Julie's my 5, which leads into the most important question of every podcast. How do you feel about wooden toys? Julie has tweeted at us. So either she's in on this joke or she really hates us. It's a pretty 50-50, but we've asked every guest what their thoughts are, their uncensored thoughts are on wooden toys. Go for it.
Like for children?
Yes,
for children. G-rated podcast.
So wooden toys. Okay, yeah.
For children. I should uncensored was really the wrong word. I'm more meant
that's what I thought you meant when you said you're like, give your uncensored, and then I'm thinking XXX, and then you're like,
you're wooden? Not safe for work takes on wooden toys.
Okay, wooden. Okay.
Okay. I more just meant like your judgment free thoughts. And now just please start talking.
Judgment free thoughts on children's childhood toys. Like wooden blocks and stuff. Like, I feel
So if you want to.
She makes wooden toys.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, kids are like anything that is not just a freaking screen for children these days. Like, I'm trying to think of things that were like wooden toys that I had when I was a kid. Like, my grandfather made me a rocking horse that was made out of wood.
Very nice.
That seems like
I'm scared.
Props.
Yeah.
I am thinking like those puzzles, like when their children are very little and there are puzzles that are like larger pieces.
So
they're good, like they're nostalgic. Like you said,
nostalgic.
Your grandfather made it. That's really
nice. I think they're good. Is this an unpopular opinion?
No, well, you're 1-4.
Let me lead into this real quick. But what about like those wooden toys that are like carved little things with circular heads and they're creepy as hell looking and like they're like
Phil has a very strong opinion.
Like from True Detective or something?
Yes, like let's think of those. Yes, exactly. Like terrifying wooden.
Wait, I gotta Google these. I have no idea what you guys are talking
about. Those
are
like more like made by those are kind of that. But like so I'm talking, so Julie, so I have been very open about how wooden toys just freak me out. I don't know why they freak me out. And so what does Julie do? She tweets at a zooming in and out.
Boomerang.
Yeah, a boomerang of two wooden dolls just staring at me. And
Wooden dolls?
Yeah, and underneath puts, we're coming for you, Phil.
What? With like a dot, dot, dot.
The Shining kids are about to murder me in the hallway. And like I have to like now not open Twitter until Alexa says it's okay.
Yeah, okay. I have to screen every tweet that we get.
Okay, I just Googled wooden toys for kids. Important. And
dangerous Google.
Yes. And oh my gosh, cute. I mean, how could this be bad?
That's
these
adorable.
Little people.
Like the kids in the cars, that's kind of
like that I'm creeped not you out. This. Sorry.
I'm sending this one to you right now.
Okay. I'm sure everyone watching is just super enthralled.
Yeah, for people who are listening on iTunes, we're currently showing each other pictures of wooden toys.
Sorry. So I just showed a cute little car. If you remember playing Life as a child, and you had like the little pegs to put when you had the people, that is what it was, only like a little bit larger. And there were also some wooden trains that were very cute.
We just tweeted.
I thought you texted me.
Oh, no, because it's like a video that's only on Twitter, so I don't know how to do that because I'm not that good. But if you look at that, and then, like, I just looked at that, and, like, I think my blood pressure was, like, 50 points.
I don't think
Phil
they're
looks
creepy.
Very stressed right now.
I don't think they're that creepy.
Yeah, no.
I think the zoom in is the best part.
Yeah. You see the caption on there? I think
I mean, the threat is real.
Yeah,
Julie, I follow Julie now. She's not following me. Oh, she does follow me. Now I follow her back. Sorry, Julie.
We almost just started some serious Twitter drama.
Serious drama.
What if Julie had blocked you when we went to do that? How would you feel? Never mind. We're not talking about blocking on Twitter.
I would have felt totally okay with it.
Let's talk about something less controversial, like wooden toys.
Yeah, no kidding. So I'm the only one who voted yes.
Everyone else had a pretty much resounding no. I feel like Brendan's really nice.
I don't give a shit, which was hilarious coming from Brendan because it was so unexpected.
Bradley was like a strong pretty polite. No. Carl was a strong no. I am neutral to positive, mostly because I think it's hilarious that Phil is really scared. And for Phil's half birthday, I'm going to buy him everything on Julie's Etsy website.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there is something about if they're like a wooden painted clown. Okay, I'm out.
Yeah
clowns are a hard lemon. No clowns.
That's kind of what that was. That was terrifying. And that was also Brendan's biggest fear. So if you get a wooden painted clown, if I get any wooden toys sent to my house, you're all getting wooden painted clowns sent to yours. So that's my revenge. You and Brendan, Kellen, you're both getting one of those.
Okay, all right. I promise I will not send you anything in the mail anytime soon.
Okay. I absolutely cannot promise that.
Yeah, thank you.
Phil. Where were we? Julie. Phil, let's talk about
Phil's
Julie.
Fifth, right? What's
Phil's fifth? Either you or I, Kellen. Whoever, would you like me to go first?
If we wanted to do Julie, I had Julie as sixth. So we have her fourth, fifth, sixth. So we could talk about Julie.
Yeah, okay, so aside from wooden toys, Kellen, how are you feeling about Julie on this season?
I wish I could say. I mean, not at her fault. I loved at the beginning when she was like, just like trying to hack through. It so was unfair. Like they like made her look silly, like trying to hack through the bamboo. It's like dried out bamboo with like a halfway dull axe. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't, but then she actually got it and all of that. And I think she's doing a great job fitting in and isn't offending anyone. And I mean, she's playing sometimes those games that end up not being a big edit. It's not really fair to comment on it as far as good or bad, but I'm guessing she's playing a good game out there.
Yeah. What did you think about this scene? Because, okay, so now in back-to-back seasons, we've had a lot of talk about women finding idols.
Yeah.
So what did you think about this scene where the men were going and looking for the idol? And all, like, the men go and look for the idol, and Julie is kind of back with Victoria, and they're just talking about it, how women don't find idols, and Julie's like not really into going to look for them.
I mean, I remember it. It didn't stick out to me. I thought it was just Survivor producers like trying to show commentary as like, cause they know that it's what everyone talks about, like the men, women. And I think they were just trying to set up this fact that now only women are going to hold idols for now, which is cool. So I mean, I don't appreciate that it's like, oh, well, if you were the reason why other women didn't find idols is because they didn't try hard enough. Like, but that's not Julie. That's not Julie's fault. I mean, I felt like she was telling the truth. It's true. That is what we would do. We would stay at camp. We would go and like go do things together and all that. So I just thought it was a good way of Survivor, like telling the social commentary around the discrepancy between male and females finding idols.
Yeah. The only reason I brought it up, I just think it's funny that that's the extent really of what we know about Julie. And like, so that was like her shining moment so far on this season.
And I think she's peed in Central Park. I think that was like kind of her other big thing. So it's a tough one too.
Yeah. So Alexa, you and Julie, right?
Yeah. I actually have not peed in Central Park, unfortunately, or fortunately. I don't know. I clearly am not a New Yorker yet. I'll have to go do that this week.
But for my number five, I have the winner of this season.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's my number six.
So, Kellen, I said this last episode. I'm like really, really believing Victoria wins this season now. So I have Victoria as my number five. I could start the whole Michelle troll where I just put her at number one for the rest of the season and tell everybody she's going to win until she gets voted out or wins. But I'm going to put her at five because I think that's the safest place to put her right now. But yeah, Victoria, I think, is going to win this game, Kellen. You are nodding in a very non-agreeable way. So.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I also have Victoria at five. So same there, but I do not think that they are showing her what strategic decisions has she been a part of. Because they haven't gone to tribal,
that's
right?
That's the problem.
She's been a part of a blunder. That's about it.
But she's kind of been around and they haven't. See, my whole thinking is this week they're trying to play up that Aubrey's going to Victoria to say, you, me, and Wendy are voting out Eric or Gavin. And Victoria's going to say, no way, we're voting out Wendy because Wendy's crazy. And also, we kind of want you out, Aubrey, but you get saved because of Wendy. And I think that's going to be her first real move in this game. And it's the first time she can really make a move. And up until now, I went through all the confessionals of the season. There was like a little tracker. She is the third most confessionals of anybody not at Extinction Island and the most out of everybody who is not has not been to a tribal council. So I'm like, why are they giving this to Victoria when we don't know Julia? We don't know Julie. We don't know Aurora. But we're getting a lot of Victoria? Like, that's crazy to me. So I think
Victoria's- I think she's funny. She has quips. Like, she's a good storyteller. Like, she said, like, something about if gotta put the sweat pit away. she said something like, I don't care, like, if we're not gonna eat the chickens, I'm gonna eat Wendy or something. Like, she's pretty funny, she's beautiful. Oh my gosh, like, just so gorgeous to look at, and her eyes. And I think maybe I have a little crush on Victoria, apparently.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening right now. First of all, I am here for it. If Victoria wins, I am here for it. I'm a Victoria fan. I do think she is in a great spot. I think Wendy wants to work with her. I think Aubrey wants to work with her. Eric wants to work with her. And Gavin wants to work with her. And that is solid. And she's also a part of the six, Ron, Julie, Julia, Eric, Gavin, and Victoria. That six. And I think she is very likely to make it far in this game. I wonder who she would be sitting with that they would vote for, like, what, I guess you're right, like the young female who comes out on top. It's just a hard, it's who is going to be sitting there with her that they all just hate so much that they don't give the strategic credit to the men. I mean, I know I always get all like gender about this, but it's like, I mean, maybe if she's what sitting there with War Dog and who?
Well, here's
Joe.
Here's what I think. Yeah. So we've seen it happen with, like, I always go back to this one because it's the only one I can think of. But Michelle beats Ty and Aubrey, and then Brad Culpepper and Troy Zan both lose to Sarah. And so what I think there is, you have a goat in Troy Zan and Ty, and then you have to have somebody that people just really didn't connect with on a human level. And that was Brad and that was Aubrey, her first time playing. People connected more with Michelle as a person than they did with Aubrey. And they definitely connected more with Sarah than they did with Brad, who they thought was very abrasive. So when I look at this, would she maybe lose to Eric or Gavin? Yeah, but if she gets there with Joe or she gets there with Ron, who maybe makes too many aggressive moves, it could bite her in the butt. You know? And then if third person's a goat, let's say somebody from this Manu 5 gets there, but they don't have many people on the jury. And also they just have to cut everybody's throat to get there. Nobody's going to vote for them to win because they played too messy of a game. And that could happen. And then Victoria is your winner of the season.
Look, I love it. I'm here for it because the only other females who could win right now are Aubrey, Wentworth, or Victoria. Everyone else is out.
Lauren could win, I think.
She getting from an edit perspective though?
Probably not, but I think Lauren could get there, I think. And then
Lauren could get there.
Yeah. Who knows at that point?
Edit wise, I feel like she can easily get there, but she's someone that people won't take seriously and it won't be her fault because she will have played a really good game.
Yeah.
But I think that's still subject to change. I feel like she got a weird edit last week because they were really big on her not feeling well, and then that just kind of ended. So maybe that will become more of a talking point this week, but I thought that was a little random.
Yeah, her edit is probably, other than the ones we aren't seeing, Lauren's edit is the kind of hardest one to follow of like, how do you feel about her? How do they want you to feel about her? Do they, it's, they're not giving you like a root for her, or maybe, I don't know. Like, my mom was like, oh, I feel so bad for her. Like, she doesn't feel good. And yet, yeah, she has this idol. Like, maybe she'll pull it out. So maybe that was, like, building empathy for her from, like, a casual fan perspective.
On the other side, my mom was like, oh, my God, tell her to shut up.
Nice.
I think it could go either way, though. And I think that her edits kind of reminding me of Troy Zan or Ken McNichol from back in Adam and Hannah season, where it's somebody who's going to be around for a while and they don't do much post-merge, but they end up in the final three. So you kind of have to know them a little bit, and they get it all out of the way now before the other characters kind of start to overpower them.
It's fair.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Well, first of all, I'm all here for Victoria Victory. Love it.
Mm-hmm. It's in her name.
Victoria Victory. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me your sixes, guys. Well,
Kellen has Julie, right?
I have Julie.
Got Julie.
All right. So I got that typed in. My six is Eric, and then my seven is Gavin, and I just keep putting these two guys together. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, okay.
My seven is Gavin and my eight is Eric. So good thing we have you, Kellen, and good thing we usually have guests, because Phil and I are always way too similar on our.
Oh wait, Alexa, your six is
Victoria.
Oh, Victoria, and then your seven is who?
Seven is Gavin.
Uh huh.
And my eight is Eric.
Okay, sorry, I'm trying to keep your lists here so I can see what's going on. Okay, so we're on to maybe. I mean, I wasn't that different. I have them like middle of the pack, but.
Okay. Do you have any take on them at all? Like
On Eric and Gavin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's the most interesting tribe where we don't know what's going to happen, even though it sounds like you guys are thinking that Wendy's a sure bet. So why I have a total different feeling on this is what I think would happen if the new Manu goes to tribal. Aubrey is going to be scared enough. She's going to show someone her idol to flip, and they'll have to go with her. And I think she's picking Eric.
Wow. That's a good thing.
I'm sorry?
Oh, she's going to vote out Eric, you mean?
No. I think she's picking Eric as her person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then who do you think she would gun for?
I think that then – so this is where it gets confusing, because then I think – she might gun for Gavin.
And then
how do you think Eric would feel about that?
I don't think he would do it.
I think he would do it. I think whoever she chooses to show the idol to, which now that you guys are talking about this whole thing and she's talking with Victoria, maybe she'll show Victoria the idol and then maybe Eric will go. And so now I'm all confused. But I do think that if they go to tribal, I don't think – Aubrey is going to let it roll and just play her idol and hope it's not her. I think she's going to show someone the idol and bring on an ally. And then it's going to it just depends on who she's going to choose. And I think she will want to align with Eric over Victoria and Gavin. I think he is likable. I think he seems calm. I think that Aubrey prefers to work with people who are more laid back like she is. I don't think she wants to like have like an erratic person that she wouldn't know what to do. So that's why I think she's going to pick Eric, show him the idol, and then Gavin might be toast. Or if she's gotten word that Victoria is coming after her so hard, I don't know.
That tribe is crazy because we have only seen Wendy go to tribal and somehow she has not been voted out when I was thinking she'd have been the person voted out every single time they go to tribal. So it does make – she just keeps surviving. I don't know what she's doing, but she keeps on surviving. It keeps working. Yeah.
This is a pretty interesting tribe, though, because Eric and Gavin, the only thing we know about the two of them is that they want a returnee gone. And they have a returnee on their tribe, but that returnee has an idol. And to your point, I think Aubrey's smart enough – this is the first time she's had an idol, and I know that was like – that was really big when she got it. She's going to use this smartly, and I think you're right. She's not going to just blindly throw this out there when there's 14 people left in the game, and she's going to need someone to trust, and she has to find them on this tribe, because if she doesn't find them on this tribe, she's going into the merge pretty much alone. Mm-hmm. So whether she chooses like Victoria, Gavin, or Eric, I think that's really going to lay the groundwork for the rest of her game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be – I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen there. I can just guess. And Kellen, that's the first time I never even would have thought that she would go to show Eric, honestly. But it does make sense because you said she goes for the calmer people. She likes to be in control. And we didn't really get to see who she was aligned with on 34. And that was more of an editing perspective. We didn't really get it. But if you go back to Korong, she tried to bring Joe all the way to the end with her. She tried to work with Neil. She couldn't stand Debbie. Like, so it does fit with what she would want. And right now, Eric seems like one of the most level-headed people in the entire game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't he more like the Neil? And Gavin and Victoria just seem so young. And not that Aubrey is old, and I actually don't know their ages. So pardon me if I have this wrong and I'm saying anyone is older than they are or younger than they are. But I just think that, you know, I just see Aubrey wanting to work with him more than the other two.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm making this all up. That's the whole point of this, right?
She's about to pull a Carl on us and have Gavin at 14 and get it right. And you and me, Alexa, again, are going to get smoked.
So the funny thing is that's the whole story. But because I could not figure out in my head what's going to happen, I actually have them 8, 9, and 10. Aubrey, Eric, and Gavin.
In that order.
That's a good fan fiction. That'd be pretty fun.
All right. Well, so the only one that you skipped there, Kellen, is 7. So who do you have at 7?
Oh, I have Lauren at 7.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. So Lauren, which in the ways that we've talked, she does have an idol. I think David is the one who's complete. I don't know how he overcomes not knowing what was going to happen at that vote. I love David and wish I could see him every day on my TV. But I think he's toast. So I just see War Dog, Wentworth, and Lauren making the merge. So that's why I had her at 7. But the whole thing I said earlier about who she might cough up the fact she has the idol and Wentworth might take advantage of it. Somehow I trust that Wentworth's going to get more out of Lauren's idol than Lauren, and I don't know why.
I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, it could definitely happen. I have Kelly at 8. So, like, I think she's fine. I really do. I don't see how she goes this week. David, War Dog, both of them, I think, are in more danger. And if Wentworth and War Dog are really tight, who's Lauren going to vote for? She's going to vote for, if she has to play her idol, she's going to vote for War Dog because she likes Kelly. So that's my thinking on it. I just think that poor War Dog. like Wentworth should have went home so much earlier, and Rick and David should have voted her out, and Rick's probably still in the game. And he really missed his opportunity. And I really do believe that if Lesu, the one with David, doesn't go to tribal, all four of these returnees are going to end up at the merge, which is crazy because I don't think Joe or Aubrey get voted off of their tribes this week. That's really crazy that could happen, that all four of them could survive 7 votes.
There's no way over my survivor body that all four of these returnees are making the merge.
I think Joe's in trouble. I think Joe's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed. I have Joe much lower.
Yeah, we're at, like, I'm on my 9. Kellen, you just said you're 10, and Phil, you're at your 8 or 9, and none of us had just said Joe yet. So we're all a little nervous for him.
We all have the same bottom 4, then, I think.
Aurora, yeah. Joe, David, Wendy.
Yeah, same.
Yes.
The 4. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
What are your 9s?
So my 9 is Julia, and my 10 is Wardog.
My 9 is Kelly, and my 10 is also War Dog. I feel like we've kind of talked about where we think Kelly stands. With War Dog, I think he's going to be okay because I think you guys are right. I think if the tribe goes to tribal council, it's probably going to be David who goes. But the only thing that makes me nervous for War Dog is, again, this is basing it off the preview, which is usually wrong. This is the first time where we see War Dog go to Kelly with an idea that Kelly's not going to agree with. Because War Dog
what is his idea? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So he wants to get rid of Lauren, and he tells Kelly, "We've got to get rid of Lauren." And I think there's a good group of 3 with Kelly, War Dog, and Lauren. But I think Kelly and Lauren are really, really tight, at least from Kelly's side. And War Dog saying, "I want to get rid of your closest ally," yeah, even though she doesn't really grasp that. I think that could put him in a little bit of trouble, but not enough. Phil, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because War Dog's in the chat and he goes, 10, Phil and Alexa, I don't even know what you're two anymore.
I put you at 10 last week and you turned out great. So,
and honestly, well, Alexa, your reasoning made perfect sense. And it's kind of the same reason I have them there. It's Michaela and Adam. Michaela and Jay is more like it, but you have to know who everybody's closest ally is. And Wardog his closest ally might be Kelly. And Kelly might at the moment feel like her closest ally is Wardog. But if he starts talking, let's get rid of Lauren before David, Wentworth might go back and be like, wait a second. I really want to keep Lauren around. I don't trust David at all. I'm going back to Lauren and telling her this.
Remind me of Wardog and David's relationship so far. I'm trying to think through it.
Professional relationship. Yeah, like they talk about strategy, but I don't think they're each other's like numbers one
and
two.
David wanted to leave Wardog out of the Wentworth vote when Chris went home, and then that's why they ended up turning it and voting out Chris, because Chris went to Wardog.
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't get the sense that they're super close. Like, man, I don't know. I think David is toast. Mm-hmm. How many times now, if it was a swap and he got saved, but how many times is everyone on the same page and somebody is completely blindsided? They're left there alone and he's a threat that got lost. I mean, it's one thing if you're a goat and you got left out because they're like, oh, we didn't want to tell him because blah, blah, blah. But man, I just don't. I hope to see it. I hope to see David overcome this, but I don't know. Unless they go back to back.
Mm. Yeah.
Which they could. I mean, it's a two. The way that I finished up my rankings, I try to think about the fact that it's a 2-hour episode and they're going to try to tie some story into the 2 hours. So that could make sense. And then that Lesu tribal does not exist anymore.
Yeah. And then it's just really what it comes down to is I think they only go once. Do I think that Joe's tribe loses, or do I think that Aubrey's tribe loses the other one? That's kind of where my thinking was at when I came down to these last four picks. So while both of you, I think, have Joe lower than me because you both said Joe was in a lot of trouble, I go Aurora then Joe at 11 and 12 because I just think when you have Joe on a tribe, unless they throw it a immunity challenge like we saw in your season, Kellen, when Dom and Chelsea threw to get rid of Bradley, or so they claim, or maybe it didn't happen. I don't know.
Kellen's got a very knowing smile right now.
Yeah, she's telling us that's wrong. But
I believe Dom. I mean, it's so funny because my mom is here visiting, and so we just watched that back because it's the same time as this episode, you know, and just like it helps to think about what are people's mindsets and all that stuff. And I hadn't watched it back for a while. And Dom, I know Dom well enough now that when they show him come back to camp, all of you people who loved Ghost Island so much, getting into the details. And he comes back to camp and he's like, you guys, I'm so sorry. I was just gassed. And he's totally has his lying face on. Mm-hmm. And so I believe him. Plus, I've talked to him since then. I don't think he was lying. I think Dom knew that Bradley and I were going to cause him trouble if we got back together. So I do believe, I just was making the face that it's like, why I made the face is because that was one of my biggest glory moments. they had burned the Malolo flag. I like come back from Ghost Island. It's so depressing. Angela and Des were the two weakest swimmers in our entire season by far, and like the fact that we came back and actually won was like one of the most beautiful moments. So I'm always like, it was so fake.
That's so sad.
That was the look.
Well, for comma here, they won't need to burn a flag because they just keep winning. But
they just keep winning.
I just don't see them. I guess they could. They do have Julie, who has sat out multiple challenges now, which means Kama assumes she's the weakest person on the tribe, whether she is or not, I don't know. And then they also have Ron, who's one of the older males, so maybe he's not as strong. So they could lose, but every time I watch one of these challenges, David and Wentworth have sucked at puzzles, which is so bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Why are they so bad? I was surprised when they put the two of them back on this puzzle.
And they blew it again. You know, so I don't know. They're so bad at puzzles. Joe's the strongest guy in the game. And I just have a hard time seeing them lose. But maybe they do. But I'm going to take my chances and assume that David or Wendy are the boot this week. Or they're the two boots this week. I really hope I'm not right. Because David is fantastic. And if Wendy's storyline can get off the chickens, it can be way, way better. But right now it's just stuck on the chickens and I don't care anymore.
Fair.
So stealing
you have, Aurora, Joe.
Then David, Wendy.
David, Wendy.
Okay. I think Wendy's tribe loses at least once, no matter what, and she definitely goes if they lose. That's my take. And David, I think, has a little bit less of a chance to lose just because, God, even Spencer's tribe won, right? Like, they have to.
They have to get one.
They have to get one, I hope.
They'll probably get one, but they're not going to get two, which
they'll
means
get the
David
second one.
Toast.
Yeah, I know. I know. Mm-hmm. I just, it's wishful thinking. I love David. He's like,
Yeah.
He's gone. All right. Well, David made it to 13th. Good job, David. I thought he would have been 18th. So this is good for him. He survived 4 tribal councils. That's a lot for a guy who's as much of a threat as David Wright is. So it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's all your floor now. Everybody who wants to, you can do 11-11, 12-12. I have nothing.
Go
else.
Ahead, Kellen.
So I have Aurora, Wendy, David, and then Joe.
Wow. You really think Joe's out?
I think Joe's out. I don't think he's making it the next two. I don't think he's making it.
That's probably accurate.
I mean, unless he, because is there still, are we thinking there's still an idol on that beach?
I think there is, because there's
which
always
beach
one
is
on
that?
New. It's that's
they
not
stayed at Kama.
But they did stay at Kama, so maybe not, because Aubrey already found it.
Yeah, there's
oh,
probably
yeah.
one on the
on
Lesu.
It would be on Lesu's where there would be a new one. Maybe David finds an idol, and then we can all be like, what is going to happen?
Oh, my
David,
God.
Sari goes home.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. That would be so amazing if David found an idol and we're all wrong. Oh, I would love it. I would love it. I would love it.
Then Mr. Wardog is in deep trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, because then
no.
Wardog gets votes. Yeah, because Lauren and David can both play their idols.
But wouldn't they go after Wentworth? David wants Wentworth out.
Oh, true.
But the way he looked so shocked, he might have thought that he was closer with Wardog. Because I don't think David ever thought he was closer with Wentworth. He's made it pretty clear he wants to get rid of Wentworth. So I don't know. I'm just guessing. I've watched the same
Fair.
Show.
Oh man, I hadn't even thought of the fact that there's a Lesu idol, but there has to be.
Yeah. Whether they find it or not, that's the only question. Lauren already has one. Imagine Lauren finds it and Lauren's got two idols and a tummy ache and she's running the
and
show.
A tummy ache.
Two idols so and a cute. Tummy ache. I hope that's the name of the next episode. Although they're probably already named, but still that would be cool.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome.
I have Aurora just because if Kama does end up losing and they go the whole thing about like, what if Joey Amazing has an idol? I think she's his collateral damage. Is that the phrase?
I think, yeah.
I think that works, yeah.
Yeah, that, sure.
Is that, I don't know why that, I don't know.
Yeah, because they want to get rid of Joe,
but like
so Aurora is who they get rid of instead.
Yeah, like because they're worried he has an idol and they always like, if you can't cut off the head of the snake, then you take the tail. I don't know. I'm really bad at metaphors right now.
You kill the bride of the dragon, not the dragon, as Coach would say.
Ah, yes. There you go. Yeah. So I think Aurora might be in trouble because of that. And then, but yeah, Joe, I don't think there's any way that all 4 returnees are making it to the merge. These new players are smarter than that. I just believe in them. And so that's why I have Joe and David, because I think at least one of them is going in the next 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have David and then Joe as my number one choice for getting ousted.
Kellen, before Alexa does her 11 through 14, so far everybody has said you have to get rid of these returnees. Like Carl has been just like so frustrated by this. And I think Bradley was saying the same thing. I don't really remember what Brendan's take was. Do you have any survivors that you think like you might be blinded by if you were to play with them? Like clearly it seems like most of you want to get rid of these returning players, but somehow the returning players always stick around. Do you think there's anybody that would like blind you?
I mean, it's so hard because I have to go back into my mindset of having never played before, because my mom does the same thing. She's like the guest star here, but she's not here. But she's like, I hate this. Like, how come they're so stupid? If you say, oh, we'll get Wentworth later. No, you're not going to get Wentworth later. They're going to end up at the end, blah, blah, blah. But I think about my first day getting into the boat, and we had walked up on the beach, and there was Kelly Wentworth and Aubrey, and they came to me and were like, I see myself in you. Like, I've wanted to
let's
run
start away. A dialogue.
Let's start a dialogue. like I don't know. Like, I think I would have been. Now, Joe, I think I never wanted to play with like the hot guys on my season. So I don't think I would have fallen for the Joe thing, but
poor Bradley. Just instantly calling him out, huh? My God.
Okay, Phil, why do you have to say that? I wasn't even thinking that.
I just had to throw it out there. It was in the air. It was there. Oh, man.
He's totally hot. He's probably never listening to this, so it's totally fine.
He's definitely listening to this.
So he can just click right there.
I did want to work with Bradley. Bradley is so hot, but I didn't want to work with like the traditionally modely types. And Bradley is like an intelligent hot.
Ooh, good save.
Yes. thanks, Alexa. So I don't think I would have fallen for Joe. And David is just like, you're like, he's going to weasel his way in. So, but I have to say, I can't blame them for wanting to work with Aubrey and Kelly. From a fan's perspective, I think that's where we have to do that. Now, mm-hmm. as a returning player, I'm like, you guys are freaking idiots. Get them out of there. They know what to do. They are going to lie better than you. They are going to last better than you. They know what's coming up. Like, get them out. So I think they are all real silly for letting them. I mean, there's a chance that all four of them make the merge, supposedly. I don't think it's going to happen, but they're playing with fire.
Yeah, I think
those four get there together, even three of them get to the merge together, they're in trouble, those newbies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. especially if it's Joe, Wentworth, and Aubrey, because Joe and Aubrey have made a relationship on this season, and Joe and Wentworth made a relationship on the last season. So now you have all three of them who can just come together. You bring in Wardog, you bring in Lauren. It's a group of five in a possible 12-person situation. They only need to find one or two more people.
They're and Aubrey has an idol. So.
If Aurora makes it, then Aurora's on their team.
Yeah, they're gonna be in trouble. But I don't think that's what's gonna happen. I think Joe and or David are gonna eat dirt this week.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we heard it from Kellen. They're gonna eat dirt. what's your 11
for team? That was so wholesome. I have Joe at 11. I think you guys both had him at 12. I don't think he's Kellen safe. Oh, true.
Yeah, I have Joe 14.
Much
yeah.
lower than I did. I think he's okay. I don't know if they're going to throw a challenge, but I have Joe and Aurora at 11 and 12. So to me, they're fairly interchangeable. I just don't think they lose. But again, the double episode is throwing me off. And then I go Wendy at 13, David at 14. Mm. And the two ways that I see this double episode going is either the chickens take up the entire two-hour episode. And
Lord, help us all.
And I'm putting this one first because I think the second one is more likely. We end the chickens after the 2 hours. Someone goes home in the first hour. Wendy goes home in the second hour. Chickens are done. And then they kill a chicken to just really rub salt on the wound. Or because David is so well-liked, David is playing a really good game. David kind of gets his swan song and he gets a two-hour boot where he is the second boot and the entire episode kind of goes around him. That's where I see this going one of those two ways.
And that makes me even a little bit more confident in Kellen's Joe at 14 because they could also do the same thing for Joe.
Whereas, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
So that could really happen. Kellen, we didn't really get to hear what you think about Big Wendy 6. We kind
oh
of
my
lost
gosh.
Her. She has yeah. a necklace that says Big Wendy, which we haven't talked about, so I just want to put that out.
Mm. I love the necklace that she's like, this is me. This is my branding. I love Big Wendy. I love watching her on my TV. I don't think it's her fault that they're focusing on the chickens, although it is her fault, but not her fault. And I just, the way that like her mannerisms and the way she was like, well, we are so strong. And so we're going to be fine, Jeff. And I'm like, oh, I just love it. I love Big Wendy. She's great TV. I love that she's made it this far because sometimes a personality that's like more quirky or more entertaining and less into the game, they can get voted out early. And I love that she's made it this far. And she's like sort of the queen, like the quirky queen of keeping Manu was her home. And yeah, I don't know. I've loved watching her. I just wish they weren't focusing so much on the chickens, because I bet there's some other crazy shit that she's doing as well. So I wish we could see more.
Stealing the twin.
Yeah. No, but that's a good point. I think if they can get away from the chickens, like I remember in episode one, she was pretty candid about talking about having Tourette's, and that's something we've never seen on the show. And I think something that a lot of people, myself included, know next to nothing about. So I was hoping that they could maybe focus on that more. But, and she tweeted this, like when they had Eric like graphically describe how he wanted to murder that chicken and they showed her twitching, she was like, that wasn't out of anger. That was my Tourette's. And so that's something that was kind of used against her in a way that was not really correct. So I'd rather see more of that from Wendy, because then I think we'd be getting more of a complex character. Right now we're just being shown crazy chicken gal, which I'm sure there is more to her than that.
And Kellen, how do you think, because this is the point I tried to make last week, how do you think you would feel about her if you were on the island and she was talking about the chickens mm-hmm. and everything like that?
I mean, I think that when you're out there and you're hungry and there's someone that is speaking a bit illogically about something, it's really, really hard to put up with. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is or who it is. And anyone that sticks out for any reason is bad news bears, because it gives people a reason to look at you and all that stuff. And you just have to go with the majority. Like, I hated putting salt water in our rice. Like, I was already thirsty anyway. I did not want to have salty rice. And some people loved it like salty. And like, I would try my best to just keep my mouth shut if that's what everyone was doing. And so it's hard. It's hard when someone is putting a lot of weight into something that doesn't matter. And I understand mm-hmm. that she feels like it matters. And I'm just kind of like, damn, has that girl figured out? Because she seems so smart. I'm like, does that girl figure out that she has no chance of winning and she is just working hard for that Sia money? Like,
that's what everyone's saying.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, well, good on her. That's more money than I would have made. You know, it's like, I would go for that check. So if she's doing that, maybe, but it is hard. It's hard. It's hard.
I have a question about the salty rice. Did people do that because, like, to add to the flavor?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I get that.
Yeah. That, and it's totally fine. Yeah. No. Well, you guys are being kind to me. I was definitely in the minority. People liked for it to taste
like ocean.
Salty. Yeah. It wasn't oceany. It wasn't fishy. It would just taste like you would put salt, but I don't like salt my food in my regular life. So, anyway, it's mealtime and food and sharing things and all that is very sensitive and very touchy. Can we talk about how they had like 45 pounds of food to start with this season?
Yeah, Kelly was munching on a piece of celery while talking strategy.
Brendan and Carl had a big problem with this.
I have a huge problem with it. At one point, there's like a pile of pineapples. We ate like a total, I think probably of like six, the whole time I was there, six ripe papayas. That is it. Six,
oh my God.
For the whole tribe. That is the only fruit. Other than coconut? Is coconut? Well, coconut. Yeah. Fruit.
But coconut's like, already there.
Coconut does count. Like, literally, at camp, the only food we got was tiny ass a bit of rice. And then if we could find papayas, like seeing the piles of food they got to start with, it just irks me. It irks me. And how the hell does Kelly Wentworth have leggings and jeans? And Aubrey has like a full-on like quilted jacket?
Victoria's got a beanie.
Yeah, Victoria has a winter hat. Like, how are these people getting so much food? I feel like I'm like so classic, like bitter Survivor player. It's hilarious. No, right
it.
Now.
I'm like, on a Twitter rant after.
I'm like full on, full on. And I know it's hard. Look, I don't think it matters. If you're getting an extra 100 calories of fruit a day, like, it really doesn't do shit. So I know they were just as hungry.
No, keep going. I like this Kellen better.
But like, seeing those piles of pineapple, I was just like, girl, please. Like,
yeah, that's even, this is even like Kellen without the wine. But yeah. What would have happened?
This is NyQuil, Kellen.
Yeah, dang. Well, okay. So then do you think that they got more food because of Extinction Island? Because they knew that people were going to be going there and like not having much food.
No, I don't know. I think it's just because it's like pretty. I think it's like a visual thing. Like for the marooning people always get more food because it's like the boats set up and there's stuff to get. And it's the whole thing of like tossing it overboard. I think it's more for that than anything. And really, what is the point? Like, they're still hungry. They're still losing weight. Like, does it add to the season? You guys didn't even know that we didn't get any food. Like, people don't notice. So, actually, I'm glad that they, for them, that they got to eat and have fruit. But for me, I'm like, what the hell is with all of that entire grocery aisle of fruit?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Phil.
No, go ahead, Alexa. I was just agreeing.
I have two things. One, you're right. Like, it's a cool visual to watch them just like toss 30 pineapples over the boat and try to wrangle them all into their raft. Second, this is something Phil and I felt really strongly about. How do you feel about fishing gear on Extinction Island?
I feel great about it. You know how hard it is to catch fish out there?
someone left a comment that was a really good point. We were super against it because we were like, if they give them anything more than fishing gear, then we feel like they may be getting a little extra, not an advantage, but this is supposed to be really horrible. They're not even really in the game. But someone made a good point that, like, you look at the two fish that Chris caught and they were like the size of like my finger. Like, they were tiny. I mean,
and did you see how excited they were?
They were so excited. I mean, it was really sad.
Yeah. It is hard, 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 hard to catch fish. And like, if they didn't give them fishing gear, what do you guys want them to eat? Just nothing?
Yeah. I think we're being armchair psychologists with this.
Yes, Kellen, I wanted them to eat nothing.
Okay, fine.
I want them to starve on national television.
I mean, I think they are starving. I think that, so here's a little inside baseball too, is you have a day off every once in a while where there isn't a reward challenge and it's not an immunity challenge. And like one day of a day off, though, that was rough. Mm-hmm. I mean, rough to have a day off. And so, to think of Reem, she's now what, in day 10, day 11? Was this, well, wait, did they make it to day 12?
She's on her eighth day at Extinction Island, about to be her ninth.
Oh, I don't know why I thought it was further in than that. Okay. So, but still, they've had every single day off. And like, I'm sure they have a skeleton crew out there. So there's not like cameras changing over and all that. Like, you can tell from the camera footage and stuff. I think that there's less production happening and they're probably not getting taken on confessionals as often. Like I think that they are being fully tortured enough would be my perspective. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm being taking it too easy on them, but because I went to Ghost Island for two nights, which is like sort of, you know, solitude wise. And I had rice and it's hard, man. It's hard to be. So now they have each other, but they don't know why they're there. They don't know if they're going to get to go back in the game. I mean, they're also sitting there being tortured to know that, like, I just got voted out first in Survivor. I just got voted out second in Survivor. I just got voted out third in Survivor. Like, I'm pretty sure most pre-merge people are like drinking themselves to death to like get over and like shoving themselves with pizza and food and like all these other ways to cope with what just happened and talking to other people and all like going, you know, I think it's torture enough. Like the fact that he has a fishing spear, like relax.
Yeah.
You guys, be nice.
We will relax.
Be nice.
You brought up a good point with the food. I think it was Phil and I talked about this briefly, but I think it was Rick who said like, oh crap, I was already envisioning like my seventh pizza and now they have to go back to Survivor mode for an undisclosed amount of time. That's probably a tough like mental switch.
Yeah.
That probably absolutely is.
I feel like now I'm being too hard on you guys, but
no,
we
need someone to keep us in check.
I think the mental toll it took to be in the game and to have the game to worry about and know who you're voting for and going to the challenges and the breaking up of the day and all that stuff. The mental toll of just that was rough. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be out there like that. I mean,
I guess the reason that I don't feel bad is because they were voted out. I guess that's like the main reason why I'm like, you're still getting a second shot that like no one else who's played Survivor with the exception of the six people in Pearl Islands got. Like, so that's why I don't feel bad, because I'm like, you're choosing this. And so you should be hungry. But at the same time, you're right. Those fish were so small. But like, I don't know.
I think they're super freaking lucky. They have a chance to get back in the game. If they're, you know, there's been the whole thing of like, what would you have done? I am scared to know what I would have done on that day if I had a chance to like do anything the day I got voted out. Like, I don't even want to know what I would have done. So no, I don't feel bad for them that they have to be there. I'm jealous that they have this opportunity to get back in the game. But I do think saying that it should be harder while they're out there is, that's where I'm disagreeing.
Torture. That's fair.
I gotta get my charger. Hold on. Torture. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. We're gonna get to the Olympics.
What did she say she is again?
She's getting her charger. So once
gotcha.
She's back.
Okay, this, can you help me with this? Who have I picked for Eliminator so far?
Wow, Alexa. Way to not
I,
be
I forgot to look. You no, picked, I know who I'm picking, but I want
you picked Victoria, Aubrey, Julia, Joe. Vaughn picked Julia this week. So we're all still alive. This is good. We're all still alive. Kellen's back. Kellen, we're talking about the Eliminator game.
No.
So you have to
give
you
me
have
the
to
status.
Take, you have to take somebody. Okay. So this is the way it works. You take one person each week that
yes,
you don't
I know how it works.
Okay, good. Cool. Good. Bradley took Ron because that was his number one for that week. You know, Brendan being a hero after that took Aurora, who was much further down his list.
Oh, Brendan.
And then Carl took Wentworth last week. He was feeling good. He, you know, Carl might be like the guru here. He's the oracle. But who do you want to take for your eliminator, Kellen? You just can't take any of those three.
I will take. I'm not going to be that much of a hero, I guess. I'm going to take a bet that Eric makes it through.
Okay. This is a tough week to be a hero because there's two boots.
Yeah.
You don't want it because then otherwise next week the person who's here doesn't get to go, and that's no fun.
So you're saying I should be a hero?
No, I'm saying
it's hard to be a hero.
It's hard to be a hero this week. Like if you were trying to be a hero and you took like David or something and then David goes home, then
I feel like Eric is still a risk, honestly. If I wasn't going to, I would pick Victoria.
Yeah, you could. What are you thinking? Are you going to stick with Eric or are you going to be Victoria?
Do I want to be right or do I want to be kind?
Tough one.
I'd rather be right. I'll officially take Victoria.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Wow, yeah. So Bradley and Kellen taking the person they think is the safest. Good. I'm going with Aurora because right now I'm setting myself up to run out of people very quickly. I have taken Julie, Julia, Victoria, and David, and all four of them are still in the game. So I need to take somebody because I'm running out of people. There's not that many people that I haven't picked left. So I'm going to take Aurora because I think she gets through this week and could easily go next week. But I need some of my people to start going home. And unfortunately, the only one out of those five now that I think could go home is David, which is meaning things are not looking good for me at all. Alexa, who do you have?
Yeah, this one's hard because none of my people have gone home either. I'm going to pick my first Manu, and I am going to say that Kelly Wentworth is safe. I think I'm comfortable with that, but I'm also a little nervous for her. But yeah, we've all been picking commas, so no one has gone home yet.
Yeah. And it's been tough because I thought I was getting a good head start on like some of these quieter comma women, and then they just haven't gone to a tribal. And now they're all looking like they could easily be in the final 10, 8, 7. And I'm like, I'm screwed. But at least last year I got knocked out first round when I decided to take Pat with my first eliminator. And then I was out immediately. So that was fun too. But that's all of that stuff. I don't know, Kellen.
That's what we got.
What,
any,
what,
Parting words.
I love that I put on sweatpants and I was like, no one will know because they'll never see my bottom half. But then I just like kept crawling in and out and everyone could see it the whole way. So you're welcome, everybody. Casual Kellen on the show.
There you go. That's the final words from Kellen on
the predictions
and power rankings. Kellen, or Alexa, if you want to take us home.
I will take us home. So we'll be back this Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. We have a two-hour episode, so make sure to tune into that. We've gotten a ton of growth on YouTube. We've hit 4,500 subscribers, which is super exciting. Keep following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, and before we went live, Phil and I came up with a really cool idea for our next retrospective podcast, which we will do for our $10 and up patrons. Should we say it, Phil, or should we
wait? Yeah, I think this is fun.
Okay, let's announce it.
Selection Sunday was today. So for anybody who follows college basketball, Selection Sunday was today. So Alexa and I, instead of doing a ranking like we do all the time or just randomly blabbing about whatever we randomly blab about, we decided that we were going to do ourselves a bracket. And so we made a 16 pairs bracket of Survivor showmances. So that's going to be our retro.
Is it like off-season showmances?
Or oh,
like,
it's everything.
It's all of the above, Kellen.
I will give a spoiler. Somebody on this podcast is in the bracket. So.
My gosh. Wait, so is it like who's going to last? Like, wait, what? Who wins? Like,
So we've just based on our opinions, have ranked everyone 1 to 16. And
of like best Survivor couples?
It's kind of just whatever we
It might
feel.
Be arbitrary.
It's kind of like most... never mind.
I would say most
disastrous.
Oh, most disastrous. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Kelly's competitive edge is coming out immediately here because all she's like is, am I going to win this? Like, hang on.
If you win, Kelly,
yeah, I'm like, wait, can I start pitching something?
Right?
Like, I can start sending you pictures. I have screenshots. I can give you all the dish. Like, but I need to know what wins.
Well, so here's what we're thinking is. So we have made the bracket, and we won't lie. We've kind of paired up the first round matchups.
Good pairings.
Right? Like, there's definitely a reason for these matchups. And some of them people are just going to be like, that's stupid. But we're just looking at, like, it could be iconic. I mean, Rob and Amber are going to be in this. It could be, you know.
Spicy.
Spicy, yes. There's
Candace and Billy.
Candace and Billy, yes. So it's one of those where it's kind of like Alexa and I were just going to sit down on the podcast and we're going to talk it out and we're going to end up having like the ultimate Survivor. Because if you think about Survivor, it takes a different thing to win each season. So we can't really say what it's going to take to win each matchup of these couples because there's a different – like what Alexa might think is great, like Rob and Amber having like 3 kids, having a great
life. It's four kids. And they're the cutest thing ever. And if Rob and Amber don't win all of this thing, then what even is it?
So you understand what I'm saying.
Tune in on Wednesday.
Tune in on Wednesday. So you might find that to be the greatest thing. But I might be reading Instagram a lot. So, like, it could go either way.
Dude, I feel like Bradley and I have, like, a solid Instagram photo still posted. Like,
that black and white one.
That black and white one. That one
that's
is
a,
like,
that's a solid
that
one.
Gold. That's got to get us some like booster points.
Hey, any text messages, any Instagrams, any you know pitches you have, send them our way.
You know what I have? You know what I have? I have taken because he and I were not always. Hey, B man. I will not spill any of the real secrets. I never called him that before, by the way. I have a like museum of screenshots of him and I FaceTiming because when we first got back from the show, we were in different places. And like, I bet I have like 100 of them of him and I FaceTiming. And like, some of them are like, I'm super drunk. Some of them, he's super drunk. Like, some of them, like, he looks great and I look great. A lot of it was, like, right afterwards, you're like, oh, my gosh, look how fat I am because you've, like, gained all this weight. So we have a picture of us, like, holding our bellies sort of together where we both look pregnant.
We're going to need that.
You're going to need that. Okay, I'll ask his permission to share, because that is our rule. I'm going to see what we can submit for this. Hey, and if we're the only ones campaigning, like...
You're the only ones who know about it.
You're the only ones who know. Well, hopefully a lot of past survivors are listening to this, because I want everyone's pitches.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, like, we definitely left off what we might consider, like, maybe a more boring showman, so that we could add in something that might not have necessarily been a showman, but sure felt like a showman.
You know,
like, how could you not put Candace and Billy into a bracket of Survivor showmances? You have to do it.
You have to.
Only time true love has ever been found on Survivor. So, like, I just like this is what we're going for, and you probably are the only ones. I'm looking at the list we have over here. I think there's one other pair that listens to us other than you and Bradley. So, I mean, you could really put yourself into the finals easily.
We're just like easily bribed. Easily bribed.
All over.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll talk to him and see what we can come up with. Like, maybe we can do like we'll send you a photo album, or maybe I have some old voicemails.
Voicemails. Voicemails are huge. Like 3 a.m. voicemails would be fantastic.
There's nothing like a 3 a.m. voicemail.
I don't know if these people on here have given each other 3 a.m. voicemails, although I'm sure there's some where there's like a creepy person in there maybe, but...
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm all in. You guys are doing this. We could do this instead of watching Survivor. I love it.
Honestly, right? This might... No offense to the show, but this is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, this was like the most excited I think we've ever been for an idea as we were going through it. Cause we always struggle. We started up the Patreon and then it's like, okay, what are we going to do for a retrospective every month? Cause like if it's $10 a month, you want it to be pretty damn good. We give a Q&A each month and then they also get our Facebook group, but like we want it to be pretty good. And like, I think this is going to be the most fun one.
We got to start charging people up charging people for this one.
This one might be like the $500 platinum member, you know.
You should just
sell
this,
credit card with this one.
Yeah, you should sell this one off.
There you go.
How do we do this?
There you go.
But we also, I mean, we need to see how it goes, because I also am not sure how public I am going to want this to be.
Yeah, that's true.
If you guys are going to actually like talk about me and Bradley, which you kind of know both of us, like maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't be selling my...
Yeah. Your likeness.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. It's so fun. The whole thing, like Survivor Couples is hilarious. Like, while I was in Fiji, I ended up not knowing. I do not know Tyler Fredrickson that well, but he happened to be in Fiji while I was there. And we met up and we were like, oh my God, it's Valentine's Day. We should take fake photos. And we thought it was so funny. We were like dying laughing. We came up with this hashtag that was like worlds together instead of like worlds apart.
The internet like lost its mind over it.
Yeah.
Everybody was convinced it was real.
Yeah. Oh, people were and I was like, how could you not tell it was fake? Like we were in front of a church. Like, do you think we were like getting married in Fiji?
And then you two
like,
have not interacted on the internet since.
Never. Oh, well, no, I think we have a little bit on Twitter, but
I need to stalk you more.
Yeah, you need to stalk me a little bit more, but it is so funny. So maybe if you need like the bye week or whatever, there's like Kellen and Bradley and then Kellen and Tyler.
That could be like for the $20.
We could use a good double up.
We could do an entire podcast about the Kellen and Tyler relationship that was.
Yes. Ooh,
a whole hour podcast.
2019 to 2019.
I definitely have some additional content for that.
There we go. That's
okay. This is good. These are some good leads.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. Maybe no one else cares about this, but I think this is hilarious that you guys are doing this.
I don't think we could have asked for a better person to announce this on our podcast with, because I don't think I think Carl would have been like, well, who's going to be number one? And I think Brendan would have been like, oh, that's funny. But like you, Kellen, expecting you to come in and be like, all right, I'm the producer of this. This is what's going to happen.
Oh, we might need a commissioner.
But yeah,
there might be bias because you may or may not be in it. So
you're going to need someone to like call the rules. Like,
yeah, this is lawless right now.
Yeah, it's lawless right now. I'm also hoping that there's like some inanimate object and a human.
We were close with that. Yeah, we were close with that sort of. And then also, I don't know. That kind of gets into.
We'll tell you offline.
We'll tell you offline.
It kind of gets into the wooden toy.
Yeah, the wooden toy. Exactly. Exactly.
I wanted to make that joke.
Yeah, we don't need to be having whoever and wooden toy win Survivor. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So Alexa, take us home.
Go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist and immediately donate $10 to our cause so that you can listen to this podcast. This is going to be a really, really good one. We're super excited. And if you don't want to pay $10, you can be a patron for $1 or $5. But this $10 one is absolutely going to be worth it. We will be back Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for our episode 5 double episode recap, and then we're going to have the best night ever. Kellen, we have love having you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's and we hope you feel so better. Fun. Thank you. Thank you. It's always so fun to come on. Whoa. Be on the specialist. You guys are great. It's you always know what you're talking about. I learned a lot tonight, and it's just fun to like just be myself and relax and chill, and I appreciate that. Sometimes doing survivor stuff, you feel like you have to be like the survivor version or you have to say everything right or whatever, and I feel like I can just be myself. So thank you both for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. So, you're welcome.
Yeah. Starting it with thank you. So, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Kellen.
Okay. Goodbye.